All right. Hey, first of all, let me just say this. Thank you for those of you that have helped in the last few weeks and just doing some things with our Chicagoland teens, our banquet, and then our Christmas time. We had several activities. We stay busy, and thank you for that. And for those of you that teach, I work with a lot of college students. So in the bus ministry, D9, and in Teen Center, Chicagoland Teens Afternoon Program, many of you work with me, and I appreciate that, and thank you very much. I'm eternally grateful to Hiles Anderson. You know, as much as I'm known for being reached through the bus ministry and Hiles Anderson bus workers, there's a story that I have seldom told, and that is that many, many years ago, my father worked at a factory with some Hiles Anderson college students. And long before a bus ever picked us up, a man from here, a married man working with my dad, witnessed to my dad. Now, my dad did not get saved, but the first Bible my father ever owned, we found years later, was from a Hiles Anderson college student that worked with my dad at a welding shop. And so I am eternally grateful to this place for my salvation and that of my family and you all. And some of you are great to work with and some of you are idiots, but I love you all right? I love all of you. I wanna talk to you today about something about a phrase that we hear constantly. And I'm gonna be honest with you, it's about a phrase that I have been challenged in the latter part of my life and not as a younger Christian. I feel like the older you get, the more you understand, man, I don't really grasp the Christian life very much. I think you look and you say, man, I've been an idiot for the last 25 years of my life. I really have not grasped a lot of the core truths about living the Christian life. And definitely this is one for me that I've learned, and the Lord's helping me to grow. And by the way, if you're not growing, you're dying. If you're not growing in your walk with God, if you're not growing in your knowledge of the things of God, then you're dying. And I find that God has a way of just taking us through seasons. And in those seasons, God teaches us things and helps us to grow. My wife and I have been through a season this year because my wife was diagnosed with cancer back in November. And so that was a season. Now, praise the Lord. Thank you for praying. She's done well and she's had surgery. And she just had a scan last week and there's no visible sign there of cancer. And we'll have to go every 6 weeks for that. But that was a season, something that was totally unexpected for us. And so I'm going to read several verses. I want you to follow me along. Let's go to the book of, we'll start off in the Old Testament. Let's go to the book of Habakkuk 2:4. I want to talk to you today on this subject, learn to live by faith. Learn to live by faith. We live in a very convenient and a very comfortable society. I have never done this until recently when my wife was hospitalized and she was home for a few weeks. Somebody, actually one of her, my wife's a nurse, and so one of her doctors gave us a $200 DoorDash gift card. And I've never DoorDashed in my life, and now I know I'll never will because it's so expensive. But I remember just thinking, man, you know what, if I want coffee, whatever, boom, somebody's going to come bring it to my house. I want groceries, someone's going to come bring it to my house. We are living in a very comfortable society. We're living in a society where we want everything today, now. I'm reminded of my parents didn't have a new car until their late 40s. My mom never had new furniture at our home, probably until in her 50s. And yet today, we want to get married. We want to have $15,000 in the bank. We want to have a house. We want to have all the furniture, all the car, and we want all the amenities. We want everything that's convenient. And I dare say that a lot of us are learning to live by our own ability and not by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. It says that in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Look at Habakkuk 2:4. It says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. Talking about the Babylonians. He said, but the just shall live by his faith. He was telling Habakkuk, hey, don't worry about the heathen. He said, your job is to live by faith. Let's go over to the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Be good for you to mark these. I want to talk about living by faith, learning to live by faith in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. In Hebrews 10, in verse 38, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. I want you to listen to this. If the just shall live by faith, then the unjust shall live by self-sufficiency and scheming. If the just shall live by faith, then the unjust will live by self-sufficiency and scheming. I think the days of young people praying for something, the days of young people waiting on God, the days of, I say young people, let's just talk about Christians, the day of Christians waiting on God to pull through and come through, the day of Christians praying for somebody to be saved. I don't hear much about those days. I don't hear a lot of people saying, I've been praying, I'm waiting on God. And the reason is because we are very impatient. And we've realized that, man, self-sufficiency, let me work, and let me get a side gig, and let me invest here, and let me invest there, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm afraid we're getting away from the just shall live by faith. I believe that's why there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression. I believe there's a reason why there's a lot of turmoil in the heart of Christians today, because we're trying to do everything on our own. I want you to listen to me. Most of us in here trusted the Lord Jesus Christ enough to save us, but we can't trust the Lord Jesus Christ to keep us. And we've gone to him and asked God to take care of the eternal, but we don't believe that God can take care of the temporal. The just shall live by faith. It was Martin Luther that started the Protestant Reformation because he took the 95 theses and he went up and he nailed them there to the wall. And why? Because he read that verse, the just shall live by faith. And he realized, man, the Catholics, they were mooching everybody and they were robbing and stealing people for penance and for forgiveness. And he started that Reformation by the verse, the just shall live by faith. Now, it sounds really good when it's preached. It sounds really good when it's read. It's hard to live. It's hard to live. And I'm talking to young people. I hope that you learn it a lot sooner. So many times when we preach, you know, I tell the young men on our night bus that you go and preach your weakness. Don't get up and preach your strength. Preach your weakness. Preach what God is working in your life. Preach what God is doing in your life. And man, last Sunday, we had an incredible night bus. There was tears on there. Men were crying. Men were weeping. And so, but the whole thing about, you know, I can get up here sometimes and tell you all that I'm good at, but I'm not going to tell you all I'm bad at. But I got to come tell you that if one thing the Lord's worked in my heart in the last probably 4 or 5 years is that the just shall live by faith. I found myself sometimes worrying, found myself sometimes with anxiety, trying to figure out how am I going to do this and how am I going to get enough money and how am I going to be able to manage everything. And I realized I was living self-sufficient. I was living by my ability and not by what God could do. You see, a lot of times the first person we go to is man, not God. The first resource we go to is a credit card or is some money in savings. See, we try to protect our lives. We build these walls around us that somehow, like, you know, there's no bad's going to come to me. There's no harm's going to come to me. There's no temptation going to come my way. We build this wall and think, oh, I'm okay. I'm in ministry and God's blessing me. I'm okay. All it takes is for that one wall to fall. All it takes is for a heartache to come into your life and that wall falls. All it takes is one illness and you're broke. All it takes is one car wreck and it changes your life. The just shall live by faith. We talk about Jesus Christ being the captain of our salvation. We believe that what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, that by faith are you saved, by grace are you saved through faith and that not of yourselves. But I want to ask you the question. is do you live by faith? Are you trusting God for your day to day, every moment of your existence? I just breathe. The Lord allowed me to do that. I just move. The Lord allowed me to do that. I just walk. The Lord allowed me to do that. So much of this world, they want to live self-sufficient. They want to live self-reliant. And it's gone into our churches, and it's gone into our youth groups, it's gone to our young people to think, you know what? I am going to bulletproof my life. And you won't. And you young people need to learn today how to live by faith. We say, well, I'm saved by faith. The message, I've got 5 points. The first 3 points are very simple, almost a teen church-like. But faith is how we're saved. Faith is how we're supposed to live. Faith is what we're supposed to share to the world. It is faith that we're supposed to defend. Jude 1:3, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We're supposed to contend for the faith. And so I want to talk a little bit about living by faith. I'm going to give 5 points. And honestly, the first 3 points are probably junior church. And the last two are the ones I want to emphasize in the short time that I have. Number one, we're saved by faith. The Bible is clear. We're saved by faith, not by works. You would all agree, most of you, and say amen. Amen. And so if you want to say amen, I want to make sure that you got saved by faith and you didn't get saved because somebody convinced you that you got saved. Because that happens to a lot of our kids. Did you get saved by faith? Do you remember the time when you felt conviction, or did you just simply get saved because it was what somebody else did? Are you truly saved by faith? Now, I'm not trying to cast doubt on you, and you deal with the Lord as he deals with you. But, you know, are you saved, or are you convinced that somebody else told you that you're convinced that you're saved? You know, another word that a lot of times you use for faith is the word trust. Trust, to confide, to put my belief in. Do you trust the Lord Jesus Christ beyond salvation? Do you trust him? We are saved by faith. We're not going to disagree on that. Number two, we're supposed to live by faith. Hey, faith is not about getting saved. It's about how we live every day. You're struggling with fear and doubt and confusion. Why? Because you're trying to figure this thing out on your own. You're not, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And you need to go and say, Lord, I can't do it. I don't know about you, but I guarantee that these men that have been in ministry, men that are pastors, I guarantee many a time they've gone and said, God, I don't know what else to do here. Lord, I don't know where else to go here. We are supposed to live by faith. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, ye are to live by the measure of your faith, not anybody else's. We all have different measures of faith. That's why, listen, when somebody says, hey, I think you ought to do this, be careful. They might want you to do something based on their faith. And your faith grows, and your faith ought to be something that you exercise, and it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. But you ought to live by faith. I want you to go to Matthew 8:26. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? You got to live by your faith, not somebody else's faith. Then he rose and rebuked the winds and sea, and there was a great calm. Most of us have never gone without food. Most of us have never slept on the floor. And most of us have never had sleep for dinner. We're very blessed. And because we've not lacked, listen, that increases our lack of faith. We've not lacked. And so we feel like it's always going to be there. We feel like mom and daddy are always going to be there. We feel like there's always going to be food there. Like there's always going to be money there. Hey, listen, that's because somebody else is providing. That's because somebody else is living by their faith and providing for you. You got to get to the place where you live by faith. You got to get to the place where you let go of all those things that are your little safe buoys around your life, those safe borders and walls around your life, and you're thinking, oh, I'm good. I live like that. I remember when I was in college here, I made good money. And I think Brother Sally said it one time, I was one of the top 3 or 4 college students that made the most money here. And I worked for a Fortune 100 company. I traveled for that company being a student. And I made good money. And I remember when I got married, man, by the way, I've changed since my opinion on this. Listen, I had a house. I had a degree. My wife had a degree. We bought brand new furniture. I took a 2-week trip, honeymoon to Hawaii. I thought, man, this is it. I have everything done. I've got everything I need. But I was living by my self-reliance. And then I realized, man, I'm just living for me. And you got to learn how to live by faith. You've got to stretch your faith. You've got to not be fearful to go ahead. There's a young lady, or not a young lady, an older lady in my church. And boy, she convicted me about a year ago. It was offering time. And it's about 40 people at that time. And we get maybe $200-$300 a week. And I think it was Brother Daniel Anderson came up and he said, hey, the offering is like $3,000. I'm like, hallelujah. And I looked, there was this little older lady, she's in her 80s. She said, Pastor, I'm going to give my Social Security check because I believe God. I believe God wants to bless this church. She gave her check. And I remember thinking to myself, when was the last time I ever gave my check? By the way, I did. A few months later, I thought, man, if that little old lady could do it, man, I don't know how we're going to do it, but I took my check and I put it in. And by the way, God's faithful. You got to learn how to stretch your faith. You got to learn how to build your faith. You got to learn how to let that faith grow. We know that we're saved by faith. We're supposed to live by faith. We're supposed to share our faith. And by the way, that's not sharing your faith is not a weekend duty. It's something you do. It's part of your life. It's daily and everywhere. I was telling Brother Anthony, I was flying into O'Hare a couple of weeks ago from Peru, and I've flown hundreds of times. I think I've had maybe one close call where I felt like I was in danger on a plane, but that day it was snowing here and there was a lot of wind, and that plane came down there at O'Hare, and man, it hit that runway so hard, and the latchets there came loose and the check-in luggage began to fall. And a little boy on the other side of me threw up and the lady next to me started praying the rosary. And man, that plane hit hard and it took back up and went back up for 30 minutes. And we thought, man, we're all going to die on this plane. And I thought, man, I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't want to die alone, but at least I'm dying in Chicago. there was a little sense of fear there, but I remember I had witnessed to the lady next to me, a Colombian lady. She brought her rosary out, and on the way out, I said, her name was Mirna. I said, Mirna, I said, we talked about that before we left. She said, yes. I said, you still have that track? She said, yes. And she said, Pastor, I need to do that. I mean, talk about a real life, hey, you're almost on your way to heaven. We're supposed to share our faith, and that's not something we do once in a while, something you do daily. Let me finish the last 2 points, and this is where I want to finish. And the 2 points I want to talk about, you're sharing your faith, and that is this. We need to step out by faith. We talk about the pioneers of missions and ministries. We talk about the great church builders of the past. But let me ask you, where are the young men and young ladies here today that will step out by faith? You're living your lives way too cautious. You're living your lives like way too comfortable. You need to step out by faith. It's sad how many churches don't have pastors, youth pastors, because they got a lot of young men that you're looking for the right situation and the right place so you can go. You're not living by faith. You're living by what's convenient to you. We need to step out by faith. And then listen, not only do we need to step out by faith, but you cannot please God without faith. No matter what you do. Some of you were getting ready to go on the program and you're saying that your bus route can run 15. You're not stepping out by faith. And you cannot please God without faith. I'm done, but let me just say this. We need a revival of young people, young ministry people, to stop being comfortable. To stop looking at the clock and saying, oh, chapel's over, time to go. Oop, okay, night church over, boom, let's get to a restaurant. I want you to look at your life. I want you to look after ministry, every free minute, what do you do? Do you go pray and thank God for the day, or do you go feed your flesh? We're living comfortable lives. We're not living by faith. And listen to me, comfortable lives live by self-sufficiency will never get the gospel out. You need pioneers, you need radicals, you need people say, I will live by faith. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? I have one of the men come and finish the service so we don't go over. But you got to stop being comfortable Christians. If God could save you, then God could keep you. And I invite you to come today and say, God, I want to step out by faith. God, I want to do so much more.